In some ways, Advent has become something of a Cinderella festival in the Christian year, mainly because most people want to celebrate Christmas before its due date. They cannot wait. They want to get on with the celebrations. And so you often hear of people saying they put the decorations up and they're wearing their Christmas jumpers today. You haven't got any Christmas jumpers on today. And they're wearing them. And they'll take their decorations down the day after Christmas, Boxing Day, they're starting to come down. But actually, that's only just getting going then. But before all that, we have Advent. Christians, for Christians, Advent, of course, has a dual meaning and purpose. It's about preparation to remember and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that he came in flesh appearing. But also, and most vitally, it's a time to prepare our hearts and our minds for when he will return again. He will come with his saints in glory, and as Paul puts it in his letter to the Thessalonians, he will come with all his holy ones, all who belong to him. And I wonder if you're longing for that moment. Are you preparing for that moment? Paul's letter to the Thessalonians becomes then a reminder to the whole of the church of the need to be ready. So if you'd like to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, we're going to do a slight overview and then we're going to get into some of the chapter that we heard read. It's on page 1186 and following or thereabouts. So the whole letter is actually about and a reminder to the church of the need to be ready for whenever Christ comes. The gospel reading that we heard actually was about being prepared for when the Lord would return. And the signs are there to see. We just need to be ready for what is happening. We need to look out and watch and wait and pray. This is really important. But through this letter, this wonderful letter that Paul wrote, we are reminded in this letter that we actually, as a people of God, belong together. We belong together. And we need to learn to recognize each other as the body of Christ, precious and loved by him. And not just here, this is the immediate body here at Budok, but actually there are wider implications. The body of Christ exists throughout the world. And while we don't see them, they are still a part of who we are, and we're a part of them, and we're all a part of Christ. So we learn to recognize that truth and to pray into that truth. And what I want us to do first of all is to listen to Paul's impassioned plea to the body of Christ here in Thessalonica, to those whom he had nurtured in the faith of Christ and whom he loved so very much. We hear, for instance, he says, "We tried hard to come back to you because of our intense longing to see you again." Intense longing to see you again. This is how he felt about them all. That's in 1 Thessalonians 2:17. "We wanted very much to come back, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us from doing so." Just wanted to come back. And then in chapter 3 in verse 1, "So when this did not become possible, so when we couldn't stand it any longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens, and we sent Timothy to you, a faithful brother in the Lord." So there was a plan B. Paul couldn't come. He longed to come. He loved to be with them. And he wanted very much to be a part of what was going on there. But of course, it wasn't possible at this time. And what we're mindful of here is that we actually do all belong together. And the truth is this, that Christians in isolation never really work. It never was meant to be that way. And wherever possible, ought to be avoided. We need each other. We need each other in this context here at Budok. We need it in the context of the wider church in Falmouth and the UK and indeed in the world. And Paul recognized that. And the love and time that he spent with that church in Thessalonica and was deeply ingrained in his heart and mind was enough for him to write these words as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He saw that they had an immense need. And one of those needs was the need for them to stand together. One of the earliest challenges for that early church was that of persecution. So they needed each other. They needed to know that they were all in the same place, that God was indeed present in their lives and in their church, and he would help them through these most intense things that were going on. And they were being persecuted by their own brethren, but the Jews, who had been dispersed to that part of the world. But the sobering truth is, if such persecution was bad in the first century, then it has actually reached epidemic proportions now. And just last Tuesday at the filling station, we heard that over 245 Christians are pretty much murdered each day because of their faith. Churches are destroyed at an alarming rate and imprisoned. People are imprisoned because of their love for Jesus Christ. There are, of course, crimes against humanity which go unreported, generally, by the media, unacknowledged by many governments, and largely are unknown to their brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. It was an alarming presentation, in many ways, last Tuesday at the filling station, to hear of all of this persecution that is going on. Alarming in the sense that it's going on and I didn't know much in depth. We do pray regularly for the persecuted church here, but not, I must say, I didn't know detail, and it was quite alarming. But it was a reminder, too, that actually it's something that Jesus foresaw, and it's something that happened in the early church, and it's something that continues to happen today. And so we need to be mindful and prayerful about all that's going on. Most of us, of course, do not go through such persecution. It may happen for us one day. It may happen in different ways in our country, where the Christian faith is kind of put on the back burner by the country itself, and it's not so easy to be explicit about one's faith. But nevertheless, it is a form of persecution at a lower level, and it goes on. Children who become Christians find it increasingly hard to remain so in their schools. It's not an easy place for them to be. But for now, here in Cornwall, it's not too bad. But things can change, and they often do. So in Paul's letter, we begin to catch a glimpse of how we need to redress that balance. And one of those things is about standing together, here and worldwide, prayerfully and carefully thinking about all that's going on. Standing together is, after all, an acknowledgement that we belong to one body, the body of Christ. And if one part of the body hurts, the whole body aches too. We know how it is when we get a bad tooth and it makes you feel miserable for the day. Well, just imagine that a part of the body of Christ is hurting, and we now know about it. We know about it here, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters as much as we can. One of the things that we find in this letter too is how Paul feels actually comforted by the faith of the saints which exist in Thessalonica. So in chapter 2, for instance, we find that Paul is absolutely encouraged by all that is going on there. Verse 7. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. There's something encouraging about people who carry on, when things are getting tough. It encourages other believers to carrying on too in their faith. We need to know that people will stand firm, even when things are really difficult. So we have been comforted in all our crushing troubles and suffering because you have remained strong in your faith. So we need to pray for each other in the struggles, trials and tribulations that we face. And we do so in this way, we learn to stand together in this thing. He goes further to say in chapter 3, verse 8, "For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord." Another version says it actually gives us new life, knowing how strong you remain in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite all these things. So we need to stand together as Christians. And we also need to learn together. Paul's desire, as the letter emphasizes, was a desire to return to finish the job that he had begun. And so eventually he had to send Timothy. And he said that he was to do this so that he was to fill up anything that had been missing in your faith. So any gaps of knowledge, gaps of understanding, gaps of experience, a misunderstanding about who the Holy Spirit is, for instance, and not drawing upon his strength, is perhaps one flaw. We all need to be filled up and to have someone come and help us in our faith. To pray most earnestly that they may supply what is lacking in us. We all need a bit of help from someone else. I go on conferences to get a bit filled up somewhere else. And all of us need to do similarly. Find space with the Lord and time to learn together what he is teaching us, both about ourselves but also about the church. We need to learn together. I wonder what he's going to be teaching this church in the months as we go forward about the things he's calling us to do and be together. That's something that we can learn together as we learn to pray and to seek his will and purpose for the vision for this church and what lies ahead in the years to come. I think responding to the suffering church is one of those things, probably. We all always have supporters in Petrox, and that's been important. I think it's a really important charity that we look out for those in need in our society. But I wonder what else he has in mind for us, learning to pray for the sick, visiting the sick. One of the most important ministries which I celebrate here is those who have signed up to be pastoral ministers, so that the face of the church is known in the community. And most especially amongst people who from this church sometimes are unwell and can't make it here. So perhaps to pray about and seek God's will for your life and see if that's maybe your calling. Or any other things in the life of this church. We need to learn together to hear his voice and his call upon our lives to serve him. We also need to learn to receive the prayers of others. We have no idea how many people have prayed for us over the years. And you hear stories of those who have become Christians and find out subsequently that actually somebody has been praying for you for years and years. And that's a tremendous witness and a wonderful encouragement. And verses 11 to the end of chapter 3 is all about Paul's prayer for the church at Thessalonica. And he says this: "May our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you." That's his first prayer. But then he goes on and says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else." So the love that Paul had for the church in Thessalonica was really important. And it needs to be true in every church. I believe we have a loving community here. I thank God for all of you. I think it's amazing the way we look out for each other in this community. But it goes on to say, "May your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else." So to have a love for those who, as yet, as far as we know, have not got a faith in Jesus Christ. We do not judge them, but there are people, and there are many of them. We know people ourselves. I know people who don't know the Lord Jesus. We need to pray for them and hold in our hearts our neighbours, perhaps our families and friends, and ask that God will begin to meet with them and draw them into a living faith with Jesus Christ. And then the final prayer, may he, God, strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father. So we are not the finished product. I know I'm not. Got a long way to go. But God is working on me and he's shaping me. And sometimes it's really painful and difficult as he highlights things in my life which ought not to be there. And it's true for us all, actually. But it's so that we will be ready for when the Lord Jesus returns, that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when Jesus comes with his holy ones. So we need to allow God to continue his work in our life by his Spirit and change us as he sees fit and as is necessary for us to become like him. But we need his help, don't we? We need all the strength that he alone can bring by his Spirit to enable us to be what he intends us to be. An image that has been broken but restored in Christ Jesus. And one, each one of us can know what it is to have the robe of Jesus' righteousness over our lives, so that when God looks upon us, he sees the Jesus that is in us. For all these things, we need to persevere and know that God is with us. So yes, we need to belong together, the body of Christ. We definitely need to stand together in the difficult things that this life brings to all of us, to learn together, and we need to pray together regularly and often. Let us pray.